So, just how much oil is spewing in the Gulf?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis in for Bill Radke, who's back on Monday. Today, Congress is getting in on the numbers game, looking into how much oil is actually leaking into the Gulf of Mexico from the failed BP rig. Until now, the company said about 5,000 barrels a day were spilling from the well. But new reports say it could be 10 times that, maybe more. And yet, in an interview with a British newspaper, BP CEO Tony Hayward says the oil leak is, quote, relatively tiny. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London, where the British oil giant is headquartered. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Steve.
What did this CEO actually say?
Well, in a generally upbeat interview with the Guardian newspaper, Tony Hayward is quoted saying, "The Gulf of Mexico is a very big ocean. The amount of oil we're putting into it is relatively tiny." As you say, this comment seems particularly ill-judged, given these new estimates suggesting it could be as much as 50,000 barrels a day that are spewing into the sea, not the original official 5,000. Nick McGregor is an oil company analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley. He says Hayward's comments won't endear him to many Americans and could further damage BP.
This is now getting to the stage where it's reflecting on BP's future. It's no longer an issue of how well they deal with this. It's an issue of how they're perceived by one of their largest markets, after all, in the USA.
Right, perceived. Well, besides perception, Stephen, this leak is obviously costing BP a lot of money. I mean, do we have any idea?
As of yesterday, the company has spent $450 million fighting the spill. It's now costing more than $30 million a day, five times the cost in the early days of the disaster.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
By the way, the price of oil is way down this morning, below 74 bucks a barrel. Let's do some more numbers. European shares are lower right now. Big budget cuts in Greece, Spain, and now Portugal are keeping investors dour about economic recovery. Major Asian shares tumbled today as well. Wall Street yesterday shares fell more than 1%. The Dow off 113 points to close at 10,782. Used to be car buyers wanted to know how fast they could go. Now consumers are just as interested in connectivity. GM's reportedly in talks to merge Google's smartphone operating system with the automaker's OnStar network. Reporter Janet Babin has more.
U.S. automakers have shifted their marketing focus to technology features. Ford offers Sync. It lets drivers use voice-activated commands to control their phones and MP3 players. GM's OnStar links drivers to an outside network. If GM adds Google's Android operating interface, drivers could use their phones to start the engine or keep up with maintenance. Ray Wirt is editor-in-chief at Jalopnik.com. He says driving these days is not the joyride it used to be.
I think that over the past decade, we've seen the amount of time that we're spending in our vehicles increasing and increasing. And that's causing people to look for a home away from home.
One filled with gadgets to make all those drive time hours more bearable. Wirt says Toyota and Honda are trailing U.S. car makers on connectivity features. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at gotomeeting.com/market. By LendingTree.com, tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. And by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media.
In just 20 years, the number of Americans 65 and older is expected to just about double. And the same is true for folks over in Europe. But as we age, we also want to keep fit. Christopher Worth looks at how some seniors are staying in shape over in London.
When I catch up with Maddie Elsden, she's just wrapping up her daily workout.
This is tighten up the waist, get rid of all the flab.
Every morning, she takes a long walk in London's Hyde Park and then heads to a new playground built specifically for senior citizens. It's right next to the regular playground for kids. But instead of monkey bars, it has things like an elliptical machine and a stationary bike designed for people 65 and over.
parks always have children's playgrounds, but there are very few facilities for older people.
So Elsdon convinced her local council government to invest about $70,000 on the new senior playground, which had begun popping up in many parts of Europe and even as far away as China. Bob LaVenture is with the British Heart Foundation. He says this is part of a growing trend of aging baby boomers who are hitting the gym after retirement.
There is clearly a growing market for older people who want to look after themselves. And the fitness industry, certainly they're beginning to tap in big time into, you know, what they call the mature mover market.
In the U.S., that mature mover market makes up nearly 30% of those who head to the gym on a regular basis. But Elsdon says the fitness industry does face one hurdle.
Older people find gyms really intimidating. It's all this firm flesh and everybody's too young and the equipment, you have to adjust everything and set all different settings. This is very simple. Just come in, use the equipment and carry on.
And she says playgrounds for seniors help retirees on fixed incomes who can't afford gym memberships. But be warned, Elsdon says no kids allowed here. As we talk, a six-year-old wanders in and climbs onto one of the machines.
I'm going to throw him off. Excuse me, young man, can you read? What does that mean?
Maybe, but she says older people won't use the equipment if they see children playing on it. And she hopes senior playgrounds like this become as common as jungle gyms are for the little ones. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, mum's the word on whether there will be another season of NBC's crime show Law & Order. Yeah, that one. The show's been on the air for 20 years, one season shy of a record for network drama. Gunsmoke still holds that title. But ratings are down big time for Law & Order. And there are reports that production talks are focusing on whether it can draw the numbers. NBC puts out its fall season Sunday. Some wonder whether Law & Order will continue to prosecute those offenders. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Have a great weekend. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.